Now, good evening. My name is Blair Martin. I'm from Whitburn in West Lothian, and it's my privilege to be here through in Fife at Innerleithen Gospel Hall for these special gospel meetings that are in the will of God planned for the rest of this week and next week. So please remember the meetings if you're able to come again tomorrow night and on Wednesday night and Thursday night at 7:45. It would be lovely to see you, and if you could encourage others to come, if they're interested in this great message of the gospel, it would be lovely to see as many as possible coming to these meetings at this time. Then in the will of God, on Sunday, there's no meeting on Friday, no meeting on Saturday, but Sunday at 7:45, a wee bit later than normal, there'll be a second week of gospel meetings in the Lord's will, Sunday to Thursday next week at 7:45. Now please remember as well, there's a coffee morning tomorrow at 10:30, and also next Tuesday as well, in the will of God. Please remember the children's meetings as well at 6:00 Monday to Thursday. I'll certainly be busy over these next few weeks, but that's why I'm here, and trust that the Lord will use His word to the blessing of sinners who need the Saviour at this time. I'd like to turn in the Bible, please, to the book of Hebrews again. I've got a short reading from Hebrews chapter 7. And then I want to read just a verse or two from Matthew chapter 8. If you have a Bible and want to follow the reading, it is Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Hebrews 7 verse 25. The writer of this book is directing our attention to the Lord Jesus, and in verse 25 regarding the Lord Jesus we read, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Now that's a great verse, and I particularly want to draw attention to five words from the verse. If you forget everything else that I say tonight, please listen to these five words regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. It's the best news that you'll ever hear. The Lord Jesus, and only the Lord Jesus, He is able to save. Five golden words from Hebrews 7 and 25 that should be like water to a thirsty soul, like bread to a starving soul. This is good news that the Lord Jesus, He is able to save. I want to read some verses from Matthew and in chapter 8. Matthew, please, and chapter 8. Again, we're reading about the Lord Jesus in this first gospel, the first book in the New Testament. And we read about the Lord Jesus here in verse 1. "When He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper, a man with leprosy, and he worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." I want you to stop for a minute and try and visualize what it must have been for this man with all his leprosy. The same story is told by Luke, the third gospel writer, in chapter 5. And Luke tells us that this man that comes to the feet of the Lord Jesus was absolutely full of leprosy. From the crown of his head to his feet, he was absolutely covered with leprosy. We were telling the boys and girls earlier tonight that leprosy was a death sentence If you had leprosy in Bible days, no doctor could help you, no Western general, no infirmary, no medicine, nobody can help you. Except the Lord Jesus. And this man got to the right person. This man got to the right place, the feet of the Lord Jesus. And he acknowledged his need. And he cried for mercy. He cried for salvation. He called on the name of the Lord to save him. And the Lord Jesus did exactly that. And there's five words again I want to pick out for your other hand. From the lips of the Lord Jesus. In verse 3, the Lord Jesus says to this poor man, he not only speaks to him, but he touches him, and we'll look at that in verse 3. The Lord Jesus touches the untouchable and says to him, I will, be thou clean. You see, on one hand, friend, as we think of the readings from the Bible tonight, we trust God will bless them to your heart. On one hand, you have the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is able to save. He's able to save sinners. I'm glad to tell you in inner leaving tonight, in this gospel hall, as we think of the need of mankind, there's a saviour for sinners. That's why I've come this evening. That's why the Christians have gospel meetings, to tell the good news that there is life and salvation from sin and from hell available through one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad he's my saviour. I cannot imagine what life would be like without my saviour. And maybe you're sitting without him tonight, and life is miserable. But you ever thought about dying without him? You need a saviour for your life just now, but you need a saviour for the future as well. When you take your final flight from time into eternity, you need this saviour. I'm glad to tell you this saviour is able to save you. Don't you think that you've gone too far down the road of sin and rebellion? Don't think you're beyond redemption. Don't think that you cannot be reached and rescued by this hand that comes out to reach this man in Matthew chapter 8. The Lord Jesus Christ is still standing with nail-scarred hands because of Calvary's wounds. And he's saying to everybody the world over, and he's saying to you tonight, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's able to save sinners. And the beauty of Matthew chapter 8 is this. The other side of the coin is this. Not only is he able to save sinners, but he's willing to save sinners. There is not another person, past, present and future, in this world of ours like the Lord Jesus. There is no love like his. There is no mercy like his. There is no grace like his. There is no pardon like his. There is no cleansing like his. There is no salvation like the salvation that Christ Jesus gives. And he's not only able to save, he's willing to save. And you know, these are the two essential requirements that if ever we guilty sinners are going to have a saviour, if we're ever going to have hope, if we're ever going to have our guilty past blotted out and a present peace in our life and a future hope for eternity, if we're ever going to have a saviour, he needs to be able to do the job. And he needs to be willing to do it. Let me illustrate it like this. Some years ago, maybe about 10 years ago as I think about it, my wife and I, we went with our three children. One was very, very young at the time. She was just a baby. And we went down to Scarborough on holiday. No Costa del Sol, no Florida, Scarborough. In a Haven holiday caravan. It rained 7 days and seven nights. I think if we'd been there for 40 days and 40 nights like Noah, it would have still been raining. And you know when you're in a caravan, it sounds a lot worse, doesn't it? Anyway, we spent a fortune keeping the kids happy. And we seemed to be at the swimming pool every single day. Problem was, my wife doesn't like swimming, so I had the three of them. And there was this particular day, the swimming pool was absolutely bunged. It was mobbed. And I was going into the shallow end with armbands. You can picture the scene, the lot of them. The oldest one, desperate to get into the deep end, but just trying to slow them down. When out of the corner of my eye, there was this wee fella, about 8 years of old age. He wasn't slowing down. He'd get out of the changing room, no shower for him, right into the deep end. But I saw he was in trouble. Wee fella couldn't swim. The wee fella was panic stricken. He was so excited, and maybe he didn't realise it was the deep end, but he went in right over his head. I saw the panic in his eyes as he was gasping for air, but then he went down again. The arms were flaying. He could not save himself. He was drowning. He couldn't swim. What did the wee boy need? He needed somebody to rescue him. You see, that's what salvation is. See, every time you hear Christians in a gospel meeting like this talking about being saved and having God's salvation, it simply means to be rescued from danger, rescued from our sin against God, rescued from the punishment that our sins deserve, which ultimately will be separation from God forever and ever and ever in hell and ultimately the lake of fire. We need to be rescued from that. We need to be saved from that, from the danger that awaits us if we die in our sins without salvation. And this wee boy was going down. He needed rescuing. His head was under the water. He was out of sight by now as the seconds passed. But there was a lifeguard on duty and he saw him too. And while I was watching, he was acting. Down out of the ladder he came, fully clothed, tracksuit on, but into the water he went. And he lifted the wee boy up out of the water, dragged him to the side. Fortunately, he'd only been under the water seconds, and the wee boy was saved. He was rescued. He was delivered from drowning. As I thought about it, I'm glad that lifeguard wasn't he in the job as a fake. You know what I mean? Imagine if that lifeguard had been there that day and he couldn't swim himself. That would have been a tragedy. No, the lifeguard that was on duty that day had the ability to save the wee boy. I don't know all the courses he must have gone on. I don't know what he had to do to pass the test to prove he was a lifesaver. But I witnessed it with my own eyes. He went into the water. He had the ability to pull the wee boy out of the pool and save him. But you need just something more than ability. That lifeguard could have looked at the wee boy drowning in the water, unlikely, but he could have, and thought, I can't be bothered getting wet today. These are expensive trainers. This is a good set of clothes. I'm not going to bother about him. He not only had the ability to save the wee boy, but he had the willingness to do it as well. Down into the water he went. And it's something that is etched on my mind 10 years on. An illustration of this great Saviour I present to you tonight. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he has the ability to save sinners, and he has the love and the heart and the willingness to save sinners. I want to appeal to your heart this evening. I want to tell you, not only is the Lord Jesus the Saviour that you need and the only Saviour who can save sinners, but he loves you. And he cares about you. And he's got a heart for you. I love the words of the Lord Jesus himself. He says, him or her that comes to me, I will in no way, no wise will I cast them out. He says, come. He's never turned a sincere seeker away. He's not a respecter of persons. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't work like the world works with regards to segregation and discrimination. He loves you. What does that great verse teach us about the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're learning with the boys and girls the great memory text from Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, that God commendeth, God demonstrates, God shows his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, you say, prove the love of God. Prove the love of Christ. I point you to Calvary's cross this evening. I point you to that Roman hill, that Roman cross on the hill outside of Jerusalem called Golgotha, the place of a skull, where the Lord Jesus Christ, in ultimate sacrifice, out of matchless love, willingly gave his life on behalf of guilty sinners like you and me. Back to our verse, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. He is able to save. You might ask the question, Blair, how is the Lord Jesus able to save? How does it work? That's a fair question. You might be wondering about being saved and getting right with God and having your sins forgiven. And you're wondering how it actually works. How can I know peace with God? How can I have a right relationship with God? How is it established? How does it work? How is it the Lord Jesus Christ is the only person that can save me? Well, he is able to save you, friend, because of who he is. He's able to save you because of who he is. We make so much of the Lord Jesus, and rightly so, as Christians. And every time you come to a meeting like this, you should expect that the only person that is promoted is Jesus Christ. We are not preaching ourselves. We are guilty sinners who have been saved, who have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're your servants for Christ's sake. We're on the way to heaven, and we want you to come with us. We don't want you to be lost. We don't want you to be unaware that there's a Saviour who loves you and died for you. Many people will not want to hear it. Many people will be in denial, in Inner Leven, and in Methil, and in the area of Fife, in our beloved land of Scotland tonight. Many people are sticking their head in the sand, and in denial, and living as if there's no God, and no eternity, no heaven, no hell. John Lennon wrote about it, imagine there's no heaven, and many people just like to stick their head in the sand, but your conscience is screaming out that there is a God. And you've sinned against God, and you need a Saviour to rescue you from the consequences and the penalty and the punishment that your sins deserve. It's heaven or hell for all eternity, and it all depends upon whether you trust and believe the Saviour or not. And there is a Saviour for sinners, and he is able to save you because of who he is. He's able to save because he is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. And that Son was sent from heaven, and down from the glory of heaven the Son of God came. He left the splendors of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. This is the greatest love story that has ever been told, that the high and lofty one, the Son of God, who inhabits eternity, came down from heaven to go to dark Calvary's cross to offer himself without reserve for sinners. He's able to save because of who he is. But listen, he's able to save because of what he is. Because of our sins, we're at a distance from our Creator. Our sins are separated between us and God. We can't have a right relationship with God because of our sins. It's in our DNA. We're fatally flawed. We were born in sin. We practice sin. It's not only sins that we don't know about, but sins of choice. We're sinners in the sight of God. But the Saviour that was sent, the Son of God who came down, Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, he had no sin. He never thought any sin. Not one evil thought crossed the screen of his mind. Not one word escaped his lips that he regretted. Not one action that he performed did he have to say sorry for. He is holy, sinless, pure. And that is the beauty of this wonderful story of salvation, because we were sinners. We had done all the sinning. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, who had no sin, went to the cross to give his life, to suffer for our sins. Makes absolute sense, doesn't it, when you think about it? God does not sweep sin under the carpet. God does not turn a blind eye to our transgressions, our sins, grey or black or whatever. There's a record. And God requires that which is past. And he sent his Son to deal with the problem of sin. And on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He's able to say because of who he is. There's no one like him. He's the Son of God. Powerful. All powerful. All knowing. Almighty. And absolutely pure and sinless and holy. And on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ made that amazing sacrifice. He's able to save because of what he did. The only man that deserved to live because he had no sin. The Bible says that the wages, the end result of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. But the Lord Jesus had no sin. No sin to answer to. But he went to the cross. And he took our sins. And he bore them. And he suffered for them. On the cross. What amazing work he did. No wonder at the end of that amazing day at Calvary's cross, he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." After hours of suffering, after the God of heaven poured out his hatred and his judgment against sin, and it was endured by the Lord Jesus Christ in the darkness of Calvary's experience. And on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ endured it all to God's eternal satisfaction. And after the suffering of the Lord Jesus on the cross, God was able to come out on that righteous basis that his Son had laid. And because of the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross and the life that he gave to God for a ransom for our sins, God can say every single person down through the generations of time, right to where we are today. This is the criteria. This is the big issue. The one big issue of your lifetime. What you're going to do with Jesus. Whether you're going to believe in him and trust him or reject him. That is what God is interested in. That is what God will hold you accountable for. Because every person, and I'm one of them, who has acknowledged their own sin and their need of a Saviour and turned away from their old life and their old sins and come to the Lord Jesus by faith and believed in him, believed that he is the Son of God, believed that he died personally for you on the cross. If you come to him by faith, and trust Him as your Saviour, God will forgive you. God will cleanse you. God will make you a new creature and give you salvation that is eternal, and then you'll never lose it. You'll never be lost, and ultimately you'll be with Him in heaven. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. I'm glad to tell you tonight, He is able to save you. Nobody needs to perish. Nobody needs to be lost. Nobody needs to go to hell that was created for the devil and his demons. You can be saved. He is able to save. Listen, He's able to save because who He is. He's the Son of God. He's able to save because of what He is. Absolutely sinless and pure. He's able to save because of what He did on the cross. But our verse says He's living, He ever lives. He's able to save because of where He is. He is a living Saviour. God was so satisfied with the work that the Lord Jesus Christ, that after the Lord Jesus Christ did enter into death and did enter into the grave, after 3 days the Lord Jesus Christ was raised by the power of God, and God has set Him down at His own right hand in heaven, and the Lord Jesus is living. He says, I am He that lives. I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. And because He's a living Saviour, He can be your Saviour. He's alive. Oh, you'll not see Him physically. One day, every creature will. One day, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, as He promised in John chapter 14, you read about in John chapter 14, the promise of the Lord Jesus, I am coming back again, I will come again, and He's going to take every Christian, every believer, home to heaven with Him. But if you're not saved, if you've not received the Lord Jesus, if you've rejected Him, which is your choice, you reject Him in time, He'll hold you to that. You say no to Him every day of your life. How can you expect Him to say yes to you, come into heaven, when you've said no to Him? You've made your choice. But He is coming back, and every eye will see Him. Christians will see Him and go to be with Him, and then the Lord Jesus will be the judge of those who have rejected Him. Serious business. But here presently, no, He's in heaven. He's out of the sight of man. But it's by faith we receive Him. It's believing that God's word is true. It's believing that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour of the world, the Son of God. And it's accepting Him by faith as your very own. I was 16 when I trusted Him. I wish I'd trusted Him earlier, because I'd heard about Him from my earliest days. How long have you heard about Him? How long have you held Him at arm's length, so to speak? How long have you rejected Him? When in your heart of hearts, you know you need Him, but you're murdering your conscience. Ah, here's a man in Matthew chapter 8. Who was absolutely sure that the Lord Jesus was able to save him. He was just worried that he wasn't willing to do it. You see, this man, we don't know his name in Matthew chapter 8, but we know all about his need. He was full of leprosy. Leprosy, as I said earlier, was a death sentence. And quite often leprosy in the Bible is a picture, a physical picture of a spiritual problem, our sin. You see, leprosy always ended in death. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. And this man with leprosy, he was at wit's end corner. Long before Matthew chapter 8, he'd waved bye-bye to everybody that knew him and loved him. Because leprosy, when you had it, you were ostracized and separated from the community. And all you did was live either alone or with other people with leprosy. It's horrible. I remember a few months ago, driving home from England, from Leeds, and putting on a radio programme, and it was a story about the last leper colony in Europe, in Romania. And I thought that people didn't get leprosy today, but it can be treated today. But back 2,000 years ago, in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, leprosy was a death sentence. So this man, he's alone, in great need. But he hears about a saviour. He hears about the miracle working Son of God. He hears about a man who can actually bring dead people back to life. He hears about a man who can take 5 little fish and 2 loaves of bread and feed thousands. He hears about a man who can turn water into wine. He hears about a man who can walk on water. He says, that's the man that can help me. And he gets to where the Lord Jesus is. The Lord Jesus is coming down from a mountain. Great multitudes of people are with him. This man thinks, this is my last opportunity. The world would speak about the last throw of the dice and last chance and all that kind of thing. But this man, in reality, he breaks all the rules because he should not have been with all these people. But he gets to where the Lord Jesus is. And rather than shouting, I'm unclean, stay away from me, he gets to the feet of the Lord Jesus and he says, Lord, if you're willing, you can save me. You can make me clean. You're my only hope. I believe that you're the Lord. I believe that you're the Saviour that I need. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Friend in the meeting tonight, have you ever been there? Have you ever seriously faced up to your dreadful need as a sinner? Your guilt against God? Your sins might have hurt other people near and dear to you, but ultimately and primarily, you've sinned against your Creator. David, a man in the Bible, King David, King of Israel, said one day, it's against thee, O God, that I have sinned. And this man, full of leprosy, says, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Do you know if in reality and in sincerity you got to that place, you got alone with God in the quietness of your own bedroom or wherever it might be, you just got alone with God and seriously talked over with him, I'm a sinner, Lord. I've broken your law. I've got a guilty past. I've got no peace for the present. And I've got no hope for the future. I need salvation. And I'm coming to you right now for it. Your son died for me on the cross. Lord, I'm coming straight to you. And I'm going to receive you as my saviour. Lord, forgive me and Lord, save me. You know, if you come to him like that, he'll never turn you away. Because that's what the Lord Jesus did. To this man, he puts his hand on. Imagine the Lord Jesus touching this man full of leprosy. I showed some pictures tonight to the boys and girls about men with leprosy, and it really was a disgusting picture. And yet the Lord Jesus touches the untouchable. He puts forth his hand and he touches him. A touch of the Master's hand. And he says, I will cleanse you. I will save you. Without the slightest hesitation, without the slightest reservation, the Lord of life and glory, the almighty, powerful Son of God, the Saviour of the world, says, I will save you. I can cleanse you. I'm able to save you. I'm willing to save you. Very shortly after that, you would go all the way to Calvary's cross to pay the ransom price for sinners. In his own precious blood, he was able to save, and he's willing to save, and immediately this man's leprosy was cleansed. He got his life back. More than that, he got a relationship with Christ. That's what salvation is. It's not an insurance policy from the judgment of God only. It is a living, vital relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I ask you, I challenge you tonight, have you got it? Because in reality, if you don't have Christ, you have nothing.
I don't care about your bank book. I don't care about your name in the community. I don't care about your church attendance. I don't care about your ethics and your morality. If you do not have Christ, you've got nothing. You're bankrupt spiritually. And you're guilty and condemned in the law court of God. But there's a Saviour for you. And He's able to save you. And He's willing to save you. Would this be the night that you'd be willing to come to Him? See, that's the big problem as I close this meeting. The Lord Jesus, He's able to save. And He's willing to save. And on the cross at Calvary, because of His finished work, He is mighty to save. But He said Himself regarding individuals in His day, He says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But you will not come to Me that you might have life. Does that resonate in your heart tonight? Does that register in your mind this evening? That you know that the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ can change your life. You know the Lord Jesus is the only way to heaven. But maybe you're sitting here and you love your sin too much and you don't want to change. It's your choice. He's unchanging. In His love, in His salvation, in His forgiveness, He's the same. He's standing waiting. Will you come to Him? Pray you will. Shall we pray? Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus. We praise Thee for Him. We thank Thee for what we've been reading tonight. He is a willing, able Saviour. And we thank Thee, Father, for His Calvary sacrifice and His glorious resurrection. In this present position in heaven at Thy right hand. We pray that there'll be someone who will come to Him this evening, like this man that we've read about, come to the feet of the Lord Jesus and come repentant, come in faith. But we thank Thee, he went away cleansed. He went away made whole. We long, Father, this might be the happy outcome for every soul in this meeting tonight. We ask these things now as we part in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.